Hello, hello, and welcome to the Next Level Loan Officers Podcast, the number one podcast for loan officers by loan officers.
With real originators in the trenches, just like you, every single day.
If they can go there, how come I can't go there? Well, you can.
Like, if you don't water your plants, you don't have future crops. You can't feed your family. You can't make a living. This is watering your crops.
You have to find your community and you have to dig in.
If it wasn't for you guys, I can tell you, probably my trajectory would have been a completely different one.
We'll see you on the next Next Level Loan Officers Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is your Next Level Loan Officer Podcast. I'm Sean Zalmanoff. I'm joined by the one, the man, one of my partners, Shane Kidwell. Shane, you look great this morning. How you doing?
They broke the mold when they made me, and I'm not sure that's because I was exceptional. They just couldn't handle two Shanes in the world. Dude, I'm good. And they can't handle two Seans in the world either, quite frankly. Yeah, welcome to another great day in the mortgage industry. You know, I'm really excited about this topic. Last episode, we talked about, you know, what I kind of broke down into these seasons of a mortgage client. And we talked about, you know, that first season being the lead and what tangible takeaways can our audience go out and implement to make sure that that lead converts? Because, you know, we talk about, you look online and every originator, real estate agent, anyone in sales is trying to get more leads. But a lot of those people have no plan of attack to convert the lead to a pre-approval, to convert the pre-approval to a client, to convert the client to a post-closing past client in your sphere. And so again, it's the tactics and strategies versus the ideas. The idea is I'm going to generate leads and I'm going to do social. The tactics are the how, the when, the why, and the what. And so today we're going to talk specifically about season two, which I've kind of segmented out as the pre-qual slash pre-approval. And in my world, we only pre-approve people. We don't pre-qual people. So on my show notes,
amen,
I'm talking about the pre-approval season. And listen, I'm going to take it just a quick tangent. The reason I don't pre-qual people is because I don't want to put my name on something that could easily be erased, right? Like, so for me in my world, that pre-approval, I think I can count on one hand in 12 years, the amount of people whose pre-approvals fell out after getting under contract. Like, the data was wrong after getting under contract. And it was in a season when I over-delegated and I had too many team members doing tasks that were high level, high revenue producing tasks. So like when we do pre-approvals, they're gold.
I mean, the other reason for that is we talk about these seasons, like your goal is to get everybody to close, turn them into raving fans, and then get loans from them, get referrals from them from other people, because that's better than just leads. And so by taking people through the full pre-approval process, you know, you guys have heard another podcast me talk about my $5,000 seller guarantee. Like, those are the things that move the needle to earn their business. And why, when I talk to people and they've talked to other people, like, they just feel so much more educated. They tell me that, and with the time that I'll share with you shortly that I spend with them through that upfront process, I'm winning.
Well, you are. And you went from running a region, a division, to starting over in many ways and back boots on the ground origination in what will probably go down as the most tumultuous market or shift in seasons that we've ever seen. And so again, season one was all about, you know, the lead generation, but really I actually would argue that it was about trust building, right? You're taking somebody that doesn't know you, you don't know, and you're building and creating trust so that they're willing to give you their tax returns, their social security number, to tell you their life story about their pending divorce. Like, there's a lot of trust that's required to get people to give you what you need to get them under contract and approved and funded. I think season two for me is all about education and data, because what we're doing is we're now saying, hey, you had all this excitement of getting pre-approved, really getting a home, but they have to get pre-approved. And then there's this kind of lull because the reality of the market sinks in and they go, oh, I thought this was going to be a 2-day process. I'd make an offer. I'd get my first the first home I looked at would be my home. And Sean, I don't know about you, but like I bought and sold multiple homes. I don't know if it's ever been the first home I've looked at. And that was when a market was really pretty balanced and I could make an offer. And if my offer was appropriate, it'd get accepted. So for me, I look at this and I go, I've got to keep giving people summarized data of what's going on in the market that's impactful and meaningful for them. I'm not talking about recast options and things like that for somebody who's just getting pre-approved. I'm talking about, you know, changes with Fannie Mae that could impact their 3% down affordable loan. I'm talking about rates. I am, because I believe that, again, I don't care what your rate is, it's yours. Like, it's like, that's yours. I don't care who your family is. They're your family. You should have a family picture with your family. Even if you don't like them, they're yours. Even if you don't like your rate, it's yours. And that's what you have to sell. And if you don't want to sell that, that's a totally different podcast series. But if that's you, you need to be sharing that data and you need to be educating people and you need to be doing it strategically, because here's the challenge. Again, purchasing a home is an emotional ride. They go from highs to lows to highs to lows to highs, and then they're a homeowner. Or low to high, low to high, low to high, low, and then they're a homeowner. I've got to keep them engaged with me so they don't forget about me, because there's a lot of chatter. There's a lot of noise. There are a lot of options out there in every market. Doesn't matter where you are. I don't care if you're in Middle Tennessee or San Francisco. There's competition everywhere. There's over 100,000 LOs in a dwindling market. So the number one tangible takeaway I want to share with the audience today is something I've done my entire career. And this started in 2009. And for me, the first 6 years of my career, I was also working another full-time job. And so the things I did, not because I actually knew what I was doing, but more out of just like sheer need, I was proactive. And so I proactively communicated market updates. And I use that term very loosely. My market update's very different than your market update. And in fact, it changes by the week. It changes by the month. It changes by the season. What was impactful 12 months ago is not necessarily impactful today. You know, what we used to be talking about in Seattle on these market updates were, you know, how to win in a multi-offer situation, how to buy before you sell, things that were all about like that aggressive seller-heavy market. It shifted a little bit. Now, and still in our markets and probably in yours, inventory is still very low. We have less inventory than we have buyers available who want to buy. So we have pent up demand, but it's shifted to 2-1 buy down. It's more rate conversations. It's more about home affordability. It's about monthly payment. It's about shifting investors, shifting companies. Hey, that loan officer you worked with 12 months ago, that company no longer exists. Very different market update. But I do this every Friday, and I do this every Friday through a video. That video is then repurposed on multiple platforms. At a minimum, I want and need to get in the inbox of every real estate agent I do or intend to work with, and every lead, and most importantly, every pre-approval. Because now, like, I put my coin in the vending machine and that 30-second countdown timer started and I have to pick my selection. We have a small window before our opportunity to get the treat goes away. And if we don't maximize that season, that client is going elsewhere. And we know this because we've coached hundreds of people. We've taught thousands of people, managed thousands in our communities. And those that don't have a proactive strategy for engaging with their pre-approvals lose their pre-approvals, right? And so what I do is every Friday, I'm recording a video, very short. 1 minute, 2 minutes. If you're a very slow talker, record it and then convert it to like 1.1 or 1.2 speed on playback, and then import it into whatever system you're going to use. Then I take an email video distribution platform. There are many. For years, I used BombBomb. I'm shifting to Loom just based on price. And it also integrates with my LOS, which to me, a low friction experience, process, and day is what I'm all about in 2024. So I take that video, that short video that's disseminating hours maybe of information in 2 minutes, which is what every consumer wants, because that's what they do in every other aspect of their life. They consume summaries given by quote unquote experts. I put it on a video platform like Loom, BombBomb, Dub. There's many of them out there. I mean, you could use like a ScreenPal, Screencast-O-Matic. You could use a Vimeo link. I want it to be low friction, ease of use for my end user. I'm going to send that to any agent I want to work with and anyone who hasn't gotten under contract with me that is likely to. Most importantly, pre-approvals. And I send it every Friday. And I'm sending it typically 2-3 o'clock because this is like up to the minute information, or at least that's how I want it to be perceived. And I do this every week. And I'll tell you, it's amazing how, you know, people are like, oh, email is low impact. The open rate is low. I would say the response rate is very low. The open rate can be low, but if you do it correctly and you're actually giving them value, like if you're reaching through their email and handing them a $50 bill every Friday, they're going to consume your information. But what's so crazy is months, hell, years later, I've had agents or past clients respond to one of those old market updates for something that has nothing to do with a market update. In fact, I had a past client yesterday. Now, I have my NMLS license in several states. I'm not actively originating. I got an email yesterday from a client who I worked with, and I want to look this guy up because this was crazy. I haven't spoken to this guy in like 4 years. And this guy, this is what I love. This is when you know, Sean, you're doing something right. And I there's a lot of things I fumble through. This guy reached out to me and he said, he addressed 3 of my former loan partners, like in succession. He said, Brittany, Gabby, Rebecca, my wife has been trying to reach out to you guys, but continues to get a message, basically no longer at the company. So I'm trying again. I hope this is not a duplicate. The email that he was responding to was an email from like years ago, right? And so I'll tell you that, yes, like although email is not as effective as text, it's a hell of a lot more scalable. It's free and it should be like a key part of your business. So I caveat on that because it's so important to understand that there is power in email. Most people just don't use it correctly.
I mean, you're looking to buy brain cells with people. And if I can get your attention for 7.5 seconds every week, whether or not you watch my video, I'm winning.
Because
no matter how much I help you with purchasing your house, when you're sitting there and having your coffee, like maybe there's one time you sit next to your significant other and be like, man, it was really great that we met Sean, but then you're never saying that again. And so like, I need to be able to buy that brain power. So not only do I do those market updates, I also send it out because of the rate environment of the last couple of years. I send it to everybody that I've closed a loan for this year as well, because they're all going to refinance here at some point in the not too distant future, whether that's 6 months or a year or two is yet to be determined, but they will be refinancing and I'll win on that transaction as well too. I actually send a different email to our realtors of adding a little bit of different value on Friday. I don't do the market update because I'm one of those, like I send a rate update to my realtors every Monday or Tuesday. It varies a little bit, but they get a little rate sheet from me every single week to understand how things are. So listen, you're hearing from somebody in St. Louis, you're hearing from somebody in Seattle, ish, that like these market updates, they win. So there's other things that you can do throughout the course of the process to provide value for your clients, for your realtors as well too. But we're talking specifically about nurturing the clients along in this pre-approval process. So one of the things that I do early on in the process, I'm telling them about 888 opt-out because I get phone calls from clients sometimes. They're like, Sean, who'd you sell my information to? Why is this person calling me about a mortgage? And I'm just like, all right, ma'am, sir. Just so you understand how my world works, I only make money if I close a loan. So if I was selling your information to somebody else to close your loan, I might make a couple cents, but I'm not going to make near as much cash as if I close your loan. So not me. And here's how this process works. So what I try to do is get ahead of that. And the credit bureaus are always trying to make sure we can't get ahead of that, but you know, it is what it is. So I am sending them the link for the 888 opt out so they can, when we do pull their credit, they can hopefully not get any, but at least as many spam calls on there. Again, it's a little bit of value. Look, they talk to me, they talk to Shane. They're like, man, those are two really great dudes. You know, Sean did tell us that one thing. And so I think I'm going to use him just for that. The other thing that I win on is, you know, people so often tell me, hey, I'm pre-approved. I got it done somewhere else. Cool. So what did they tell you? I don't know where they sent me this letter. Cool. Did they go over any options with you? Nope. I'm like, would you like to understand how the market works? And what I tell everybody, like my very first question right now is, hey, do you understand what the difference in $20,000 financed is to your payment? And every single one of them, 100% of the time, says no. I'm like, well, in today's interest rate environment, $120,000 is about $125 a month. And that may be needle moving for you, or you may just have some arbitrary number that you're capping yourself at 350, but like $250 more isn't that much more. And 390 is like all of a sudden gets you this other bedroom or 400 more square feet or a bedroom and a bath, depending on where you're looking at. And you're like, oh my God. So when I break that down for people, and then I ask them afterwards, has the other loan officer gone over any of this with you? They're like, no. I'm like, and they're like, well, obviously I'm using you. And so,
well Sean, let me interrupt you, and yeah. I want to get back to this, but I want the audience to understand something that you do that you didn't say. We talked in season one about trust building. You don't stop building trust in season two when they're pre-approved, when they're under contract, or when they're funded. All of that creates trust and it creates confidence. And if I am going to give like you all of my information, and this is the biggest purchase of my life at that time, I have to trust you. I have to feel confident, and I have to, at some level, I have to like you. And if you're giving something to me, that's the law of reciprocation. So I keep going, but I just wanted the audience to make sure that we bookmarked that on Audible, because that's super important for people to understand.
So, I mean, that's it. Like it's just that little bit of info. So now I've done that. We've had this, they may have gotten one market update. Now we've had this conversation. I mean, some people it's 20 minutes. Some people it's an hour and 20 minutes. And you know what? I kind of let it go. If I was doing COVID 2021 numbers, like I would have them all in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm doing pretty darn well right now, relatively speaking. But man, if I got the time and like, somebody's got good questions. And again, I'm building that trust and that confidence in me, because when they get off that phone, they're like, they may not understand everything, although I do a good job of getting rid of the jargon. Like they're very confident that I know what I'm talking about. And so then they keep getting those market updates. And my market updates said it used to be 3 or 4 minutes. And now they're very rarely over a minute in what I'm able to, because they just don't care. Hey, are rates up? Are they down? And where are they trending and why? And I just give a little bit of that why, because I want to be the expert. Here's happened with GDP, CPI, whatever that is. So I can break that down for them and be like, oh, yep, still trust him. He's still smart and he still knows more than me, which you should if you're doing somebody's mortgage. I know more than they do in this realm.
Well, and so what I do with mine is I talk about the market, but that's a very like generalized description of something that's very tactical. And I love how you broke down yours. So in my market update, I do the exact same thing. I say, this is where the rates are, up, down, good, bad, red, green. Where are they trending? And what's upcoming? Hey, next Friday, something big's happening. Because I know that when I'm speaking to people who are looking at what they think are accurate rates online, I want to be the first one to tell them it may get better, it may get worse, right? So I love that you're doing that. What I'm also doing is I'm inserting a proprietary item of value on every let's call it an episode of this, right? And as I mentioned, I'm sending this through email. I'm also sending a quick text message to pre-approved, like those people who are pre-approved, saying, hey, check your inbox, send a quick market update. You're going to want to watch this. Very short and simple. I'm also streaming this on YouTube. I'm streaming this on Facebook through like maybe a real estate group that I manage. If I had like a past client, like Shane financed your home group, I might put it there, but it's going to multiple places. When I'm sending something that's a proprietary item of value, what that means to me is something that I use in the process that benefits the consumer that I've made my own. An example of this, we have in our LOS, and you have this too, I believe, the ability to give our agents and our borrowers access to their pre-approval letter on their phone. And in my system, they can adjust their letter. So a lot of companies have this, but most LOs don't talk about this. And so for me, I type, I say, hey guys, one of the things work with me at Dwell Mortgage is we have a proprietary system. It's encrypted that you can manage and access 24/7, 365. You can add documents, you can e-sign, you can send me a note, ask a question. If it's 3 a.m. and you were up reading the news and you had a question, drop it in the borrower portal and I'll get back to you the next business day. In addition, if you're out looking at homes late at night or on the weekends when I'm out with my daughter, you can adjust, access, print, download a copy of your letter specifically tailored to that offer. That's one of my items of value. So what I would really challenge the room here is, do you have a yellow notepad with the top 20 items of value that you provide? If you don't, that's a great exercise to do in a slower market that will be trending up. Like, you need to know what makes you better than everyone else. And if you don't think you are, again, I would refer you back to another series where we talk about moving companies. But again, like, or like moving managers or moving teams, but you have to have something of value that you're giving to people. And yes, the news is good. Yes, rates are good. But can you go a step further and share something proprietary? And you can do that in 15, 20 seconds at most.
And proprietary doesn't mean that only your company or only you has it. It's a tool that you have or something of value that you have. So don't go like too off the deep end. Like if you're using, one of 27 products out there, like that you can use to help people with. We could go further, guys, but you need to go back and focus on this episode. You need to write down a few of the things that we said that you're going to start implementing and let us know how it's working in your process. Appreciate you all. I'm Sean Zamenhof. He's Shane Kidwell. Peace out, friends.
See you guys.